I don't question the genie that lives in my phone, okay? I show 89.
Okay. Same.
It's going to get all one right. more degree, and it's going to be down to a low of 70, but it will be sunny, and Mercury is fun. Coming into retrograde.
Uh-oh.
Gird your loins.
Uh-oh.
But I can't get, I lose my, I can't explain that over and over.
What?
Mercury retrograde and Mercury.
It just means retrograde. Don't make big choices. Don't, and relationships don't yeah. buy companies. Don't sign contracts. Just give yourself a time to feel things out.
Yeah.
Don't make rash decisions, I feel like, is what the big point about it was. And people are on edge. Yesterday, I felt like I had my period.
Yeah.
All day, I've never been so emotional. Like I could have cried at anything.
You,
I felt like I was 15.
You,
I really did. Anything, I could have just started drop of a needle. Oh,
yeah. No, and all day yesterday, I thought, wow, this is really happening. And
what, that I wanted to cry every minute?
Yeah. And wow, I am always grateful for the extra flow of testosterone that I have going
you
in my
really
body.
You really do. So she does.
I do not have
She's
to
a man.
Have the feels this way, Rocco. It's the best of both worlds, really, if I'm going to be honest.
She's a woman man.
No, I
You really are.
If you have a little bit more testosterone, maybe sometimes you might not have quite the feels. You were having a blast of estrogen feels yesterday.
And you know what? I forgot to take my...
lady medicine?
Yeah, for 2 days in a row, so no wonder.
Yeah.
I had, pent up tears.
Mm-hmm.
I could cry it.
I didn't even notice. I thought we had a fun day yesterday.
Oh, well, you weren't on the air.
This is all the things
that happened before work
this is
and
confessions
after work.
Of the double wide and confessions.
And now everyone's back to hear my, because Hannah's back and Jess is back.
It's very crowded, but I feel like we've adapted well.
It's fun seeing people in the building.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to put the year of the Lord of COVID pandemic 2021 behind me in the rear view mirror into so many ways. And I have a couple of goofy family members who are not vaccinated. I'm very worried for them because they're sitting ducks.
Mm-hmm.
The virus will go and find places it can go to.
Right.
And so I'm just kind of like, do something. Go and get vaccinated. It's such a great feeling.
It is a great feeling.
You know?
I know. People are doing their own
let's
thing.
Just say I'm glad it's not World War II and we need to rely on anybody to sign up and go fight overseas or anything because, geez, Louise, you can't even get a vaccination. I mean, what would we do if it was World War II and we needed people to sign up? You know what I mean? This is like nothing. It's just nothing. So anyway, it's just I don't like it. I just feel like it's your patriotic duty just to get a vaccine and there's
I went into a store last night, because we've been not wearing masks here at work, and for the first 2 weeks it was weird going to the restroom and not running back here. Oh gosh, I forgot my mask to even run to your desk and stuff. And other people are experiencing this, I'm sure. And so I'm used to not wearing a mask now completely. And so I go into a store last night and everyone's wearing a mask. And I asked the person, am I supposed to wear a mask? Because it's right in the store, right in the cities. No, we're just wearing them. And I'm like, why? But almost everybody in there had a mask. And I felt
like maybe
someone
only has had one shot.
Right. And I asked and no, they were fully vaccinated. They're just wearing them still. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm not.
Yeah.
It was just kind of.
My mom went and had her cataracts checked yesterday.
Well, at a doctor's office.
No, but at her, and they wanted to see her vaccination card. And she said, I didn't have it with me, but I had taken a picture of it. And the nice receptionist, I told her, I don't know where that picture is on my phone.
Oh, that's hysterical.
So of course,
that's hysterical. The receptionist is going through your mom's
photo. Because, who's closer to you than the eye doctor?
Right.
Or besides the dentist,
right.
Those are the two. And she said, oh, yeah, the door was locked and you have to show your vaccination card. And she said, I'm going to go to Bartels today and get a copy and get a laminated card. And I'm going to carry it around with me. Because she just said, I don't know. My mom is of the opinion at the age that she's at, that she's got quite a few doctors. looking at different things.
Well, it's amazing how you compile them up at a certain age. I got this one for that, that one for that. It's amazing. It's amazing. So. Okay, who's having an amazing life?
Oh, gosh. I guess we do have time to remember.
Yeah, let's do it.
Faye Shulman. So, you know, we love our historical fictional novels about World War II, stories of heroism. You know, we've read so many books, The Nightingale and The Rose Code and
The Huntress.
The Huntress.
The just Alice many, Network.
Yeah, so many, so
a book
many
of
books.
Names.
Yeah, so many. So, Faye Shulman is the life that we're remembering. She has passed away, and she has quite a story, you guys. In World War II. So on August 14th, 1942, barely 7 weeks after the German troops invaded Soviet-occupied Poland.
Yes.
They massacred 1,850 Jews from a shuttle named Lenin near the Sluk River. Only 27 people out of the whole shuttle, the village.
Yeah.
Were deemed essential, and Faye was one of them. But they were shoemakers, tailors, carpenters, blacksmiths, a barber, and a young novice photographer named Fagel Lesbenek.
Okay,
and she later became Faye Shulman through marriage. And the Germans wanted her to take commemorative photographs of them because they were very, very big on photographing their progress. Of what they were doing as they were invading.
Horrible.
I mean, just unbelievable, right?
Horrible.
Horrible. And so they said, you know, they're like, and you better be good. Because they asked her, you know, and she, yeah, and or else.
And so she had to document it.
So she had to document.
Oh, horrible.
So they spared her from the firing squad because of their vanity and their obsession with bureaucratic record keeping. And those two weaknesses she later used against them. And I mean, I won't even get into some of the things that they made her photograph, but she kept copies of photos when she could as evidence.
Right.
And then she later escaped and joined a Russian guerrilla resistant group of fighters. And she was one of the only known Jewish partisan photographers. And thanks to her own graphic record, she debunked the most common narrative that most Eastern European Jews had gone quietly to their deaths. And she wanted to let people know that they resisted.
Oh, good for her.
And she ended up immigrating she fought through the whole thing. The forest became her home.
Right.
She lived the underground forest resistant fighter for like 2.5 years.
Wow.
And she immigrated to Canada in 1948. And there's a biography, A Partisan Woman's Memoir, A Woman of the Holocaust. There was a documentary. You know, she is known. She was 101 years old, but she never photographed again. She never took pictures again.
Wow. Could,
kind of amazing.
That gives me the chills.
I know. And the bed was grass, the roof of the sky, and the walls were the trees, and her rifle was her pillow. And
oh,
she fought, and she killed the bad guys, and she had the evidence to prove and tell the real story. So Faye Shulman, underwent.
Well, thanks for telling us about
that. That's an amazing
awesome.
Life. All right, listen, we come back. It's time for Random Thoughts.
You know, I saw this story the other day. Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's Random Thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is. Okay, this made me laugh today, Lori, because Rocco, one saying in our family... forever, and it started with my mother, was Jesus H. Christ.
Okay.
And it was always H. And I'd be, what's the H for? Horatio or something. Yeah. I mean, where's the H come? Because we'd go, Jesus.
Yeah.
And then H Christ. Our thing.
I feel like you're very close to swearing. I'm uncomfortable right now.
No, I'm not swearing. I'm just saying that's just because that's just a bad thing that we would say, but it is close to swearing. You're right. It is close to swearing. But where does the H come from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
But I know I heard my mom and dad, too, use this H.
The H. Rocco, did your parents ever use the H?
I feel like I've heard that a few times. Yeah.
Okay. So no one knows where it ever started.
Did you ask Wikipedia?
No, Mark
ask
Twain.
Alice
no,
ask-
this This came on the machine.
Okay. Did you ask Alexa? Alexa, where did the age come from? No, you did your research.
No, right. So apparently, Mark Twain said in his autobiography that people were already using Jesus Christ when he was a kid. And he said, and that would have been in the mid-1800s. So no one has a clue where this came from. But it's been in our lexicon forever and a day. So in case you ever wondered what the H stands for.
If anyone is watching this on YouTube, I'm blinking help in Morse code.
No one knows. Lori's worried that I swore.
Yeah, I'm blinking.
I know it. Well,
blinking.
I know, but people, I know.
I think you can say his name on the radio.
Yeah. I think you can too. No, you can't. All right. So have you guys been to Vermont?
Yeah, I have. I've skied at Stratton.
Oh, it's Stratton.
Stratton, Vermont. I've stayed at the lodge at Stratton Mountain. It's quite beautiful, right on the mountain.
Right. Rocco, have you been to Vermont?
When I was young, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that billboards have been banned in Vermont since 1968?
I probably knew that because I used to sell groups at the lodge, you know, at Stratton Mountain, and probably did know that as I did my drive through. I went to Stratton and Eagle Mountain, New Hampshire. We had all these
beautiful
resorts. Rocco, I had this greatest job when I turned like 30. I was like the director of resort marketing for Colony Hotels and Resorts for the East Coast. But it was just
beautiful.
It was
properties.
A boondoggle of a fun job, and worked with, you know, Peggy.
Oh, Peggy. Someone just says it stands for holy.
Holy.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you. That makes so much more sense than Horatio.
Holy crap.
And let me Hollywood speak that. Julia, like, did not put any effort into finding the linguist source of the H in that story.
I told you the machine gave it to me.
Okay.
Because
that was, like, super.
No, but I saw it and I thought, gosh, what? Because we did use that. All right. So the billboard thing, though, because you think of now if you're driving to Duluth between like
Jesus H. Christ has its own Wikipedia entry.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
All right. We're stopping that. Lori's very uncomfortable with this religious talk.
Okay.
So we are if you drive from like Forest Lake now to Hinckley, how many billboards have been added in the past even 5 years?
I love it. I love a billboard. I love having something to read and glance over.
It keeps you active.
I like to know what concerts are coming, what people are seeing. And I don't mind a billboard one damn bit. I am not ever going to be billboard outraged.
You're not. Well, I'm just. No. There's certainly a lot of them.
Yeah, no, I like them, and I kind of, you know, I think that's good. That means business is coming back.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yes.
I hope to see some more concert, and I really enjoy the ones that are put on by, like, you know, like the city of Duluth, or, you know, like, I like the scenic ones where they advertise something. Split Rock House, you know.
Yes.
Lighthouse or whatever.
Well, here's what's going on tonight. You know, Keg and Case on West 7th Street in St. Paul. They are doing outdoor things. They're doing outdoor music on the weekends, and they're doing outdoor movies on Thursday nights. Family movies, nostalgic throwback movies. And tonight, this would be a great night for a drive-in or an outdoor movie. The Goonies is playing. And then Jumanji, then E.T. and Ghostbusters. But you can find out about that in the bands that they're having on the weekend.
Fun.
Yeah, they've got a lot of stuff going on there. And it's kind of cool. It's just casual. It's just right outside. There's no fee or anything.
Yeah, and they have so many different fun food vendors in there.
They really do.
Yeah.
And then at Treasure Island, I'm just giving people some ideas. Foreigners coming. I mean, the outdoor music.
Oh, they've got them scheduled.
Yes, they do. They do. Trampled by Turtles and Wilco is coming in September.
That's the show I want to see.
Christopher Cross, for all of you people, October 16th.
Where's he going to be?
Treasure Island.
Okay, I'm in on that.
You are, Rocco?
I'm a big Christopher Cross guy.
Saturday, October 16th. And then Chicago, Saturday, October
16th. We will be at a wedding October 16th.
We are at a wedding that day.
That's very exciting.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The wedding that was postponed.
The wedding that's going to happen.
A year later. So, and Carrot Top for people who want to see December 3rd.
Okay. But when is Trampled by Turtle?
Trampled by Turtle at Treasure Island. They are together Saturday, September 18th at 7 p.m.
Oh, that's the show.
That would be a good one.
That is a reschedule because they were going to play last September.
You're right.
Because Casey and I had a room, you know. Booked a room, Jules.
Oh, you did book a room?
Oh, yeah, booked a room and was going to have a romantic, you know, Treasure Island sex-filled concert night after we saw
that would be band. That'd yeah. be kind of fun.
We, you know, just a one-nighter. Yeah. A one-night Sam with your husband.
With your husband. at we've done it at Mystic Lake.
Yeah, and I haven't had a one-night stand at Treasure Island.
No, I know.
Casey, so, but
it'd
that
be a
is
new place.
That is a reschedule. I can't remember if Wilco was with them, but definitely Trampled by Turtles.
Right. I remember. And they always at the fair sell out Trampled by Turtles, doesn't it? Isn't that always a big thing?
I think they've only played there once.
Wow, whatever, Lori. They always do that old show. I feel like Donnie used to go. All right, so here's the deal.
You're so off.
I know I am. We were talking about vaccinations earlier. And yeah. Anheuser-Busch is going to give people...
they're going to buy the whole country of beer if we get to 70%.
They are. So let's get there. And childcare places, if you have to take off,
yeah.
KinderCare, which is here in the Twin Cities,
yeah.
They're offering free drop-in care if you need to go get a vaccination.
Good.
So there's people that are helping make it an easier.
All right. Well, this buds for all of us. Let's get vaccinated.
Everybody. My beautiful mistake.
Yeah. Okay.
Beautiful who mistake. Is that?
That's
Maroon 5.
Yeah.
I kind of like that song.
It's not bad.
No.
Okay. So... we haven't had any royal anything, Julia.
Oh, we have gotten so many emails and Larocco's gotten so many calls. Where is the royal information? Tell
can
us
we,
what's
can
going
on. Can we hear about a piece of fabric in a museum?
Yes.
This is good stuff, though.
Okay, this is.
It is. Okay, so there
Rocco,
is a lot of...
Rocco.
I listened to it already. It's interesting.
So, you know, people are hoping to travel again to Europe.
Yes.
I recommend using a travel agent for
everything
your package,
right now.
For
yes.
everything I right
agree.
Now, because they'll be on top of it. But anyway, I did not realize, you know, because we saw, when was the Princess Diana and her clothing collection? It was like after...
5 years at least.
But it... And it yeah, it's been a long time. But
I had
it was
an
this
iPhone.
Traveling collection, yeah. but it came to the U.S. And apparently this, what was on display in England were like the books that she'd signed, but
right.
not her wedding dress or something.
Okay.
So they are having a big, because...
she would have turned 60
this
summer.
Year, the Queen's Jubilee is coming
the
up.
The statue of her is being presented at the end of July.
A lot of stuff for
Princess Diana.
Princess Diana. So Molly Hunter from the Today Show was in London giving us a closer look.
And what a dream she looks. What a dream she looks.
Wedding dress.
It's the most famous wedding dress in the world. A statement dress and then some at 25 feet, the longest train in royal history. Now, for the first time in 25 years, it's on display right here at Kensington Palace, and we got an early look.
I mean, there's nothing quite like seeing it up close.
More than 10,000 mother-of-pearl sequins, too many to count, adorn the British-made ivory silk tulle. The front and back covered in panels of antique lace originally from Charles's great-grandmother, Queen Mary.
Something borrowed.
Exactly, something borrowed.
Quite a thing.
And there is something blue in there as well. There's a little bit of blue ribbon that's stitched into the back of the skirt.
According to designer David Emmanuel, Diana personally made the call.
Out of the blue, she rang the studio and asked... would we do the honor of making her wedding gown? Can you imagine? What? Huge excitement, but we kept stum.
The design kept under wraps. Fittings were top secret. Blackout blinds installed in the studio to keep paparazzi at bay.
I like to think secrecy goes with every bride. They always want a big entrance. And particularly a royal wedding has to be very secret. And we promised her we'd keep the secrets. We promised her we'd make her look like a fairy tale princess.
And remember those wedding designers, they were like 27.
Right.
You know, and she was 20. I mean, that wedding was almost 40
right.
years ago.
Right.
And anyone who did get married in that era, you more than likely have sort of a headband, mutton chops,
Puffy sleeves that are back in style now. And yes,
it was just, but anyway, let's play the next part of this story.
Also part of the exhibit, sketches, early photos, and letters from Diana to the designers.
And then you have one more Diana dress, right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So we also have on display her going away dress.
A dazzling number by David Sassoon, her honeymoon dress.
So she changed from that into this on the same day, and this is where we saw her
pink
suit kind of going off.
It's quite a contrast, isn't it?
And I mean, a lot less fabric.
Later, part of her working wardrobe in Australia in 1982 and again in 1983.
Look at that power stance, too. Very, very Princess of Wales.
Yeah, you can imagine she did that before she sort of went out and met all the
crowd. Exactly.
And this came to be known as her caring dress, often worn to visit children.
But she never wore a hat because she said you can't cuddle a child in a hat.
More history-making dresses is part of the Royal Style in the Making exhibit, including the Queen Mother's coronation gown from 1937. A glamorous tour de force, but nothing tops this dress or this moment.
And we did see it in the case because the train is so long. It's just, it's this big centerpiece, but there's all this other fashion. It would be like if you happened, if you were going to be in London and you were interested in fashion, you, well, first of all, you should go to Kensington Palace anyway. It's so pretty.
It's so pretty.
The grounds and everything. But imagine if it was open for an exhibit.
Oh, I'd love it.
We saw the Princess Grace exhibit, and that was just so fun. It was just perfect. You know, it was like an hour and a half to go through, and we were just like, oh my gosh, look at it, you know, because that was really well done at the Victorian.
Yes, it was.
Albert
Museum.
Yeah.
The V&A.
The V&A, as it were. That's right. Okay, so so that's happening. Queen Elizabeth will host President Biden and his wife Jill when he visits the UK at Windsor Castle, and that's in a couple weeks. So that's happening. And
is the UK open yet to travel?
I don't know that it is, but I suppose protocol and everything, they're able to, you know, do that.
Oh,
but
of course.
Don't know about the corn. I don't know anything about that. But of course, you know, Harry and Meghan are going to be invited to the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. There were people trying to start something. Next year, she will celebrate 70 years.
Mm.
On the throne. That is a platinum jubilee.
All right.
And it will be a 4-day weekend in June of 2022. So this will be a perfect time for the brothers. And I hope the queen can, you know, all things go well.
Right.
And they can all just be together.
And I hope
things
this story
calm down.
We heard yesterday about Kate, William's wife, being the peacemaker in the family is a true story. She's working on it.
She is talking Prince Baldringham off of his crown or his throne of jealousy about Harry. She's speaking truth to him.
All right, good.
So I do believe that.
Yes.
And then what else do we know? Some very, very old young human remains were found on they're 10,000 years old. They were found basically right outside of the gate of Harry and Meghan's Montecito home.
I heard that. Mm-hmm. That is 10,000 years old. Human remains of a little.
Well, they think it's from the Chumash people who lived in the area. And they called in a forensic anthropologist and...
I feel like
this?
All anthropologists are forensics. That's kind of a funny oxymoron, I'm just saying.
Well, an anthropologist? Mm-hmm.
But they study the bones and everything. Well, forensic? All right.
I don't know. Potato, potato.
Yeah, I guess.
But anyway, the cops have been called to their place in Montecito 9 times. And they were not called when I was there because we did a slow 5-mile-an-hour drive-by.
Well, you can imagine the curiosity.
There's no sidewalk, so it's not conducive to stopping. It's a hillside neighborhood.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Okay, there isn't even a sidewalk. There's just you know, long driveways with big gates.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wasn't one of them, but anyway, there was, I wasn't
just
one
to
of
be
them.
Clear, it wasn't me clear. That they called the police on.
Yeah. And, you know, they've had one guy, though, that they've arrested twice at the mansion.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. So.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, and Jodie Turner-Smith, who is going to play Anne Boleyn.
Yes.
In a new series.
And she is from the.
She's from the UK.
Yeah, but she's in the Queen's Gambit, right? Isn't that who that is?
No, this is Jodie Turner-Smith. Oh, okay. She married the guy from that used to be with Diane Kruger. I can't think of his name.
Josh.
He was in The Affair.
He was in the big show with Kate, the young kids show on the beach on the East Coast.
Dawson's Creek.
Thank you.
Yeah. Filling in all the blanks. Sounds like...
Rhymes with.
Okay.
I think he was in the original Mighty Ducks, too.
Yeah.
You're right, he was.
Here in St. Paul.
Yes. Yeah, so, she's beautiful.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And so they're together. Yeah, remember, he and Diane Kruger were together for the longest time.
And then she fell in love with
Norman Reedus.
Yes, and had a baby with him.
She smelled his armpit.
And that was it.
He took her for a motorcycle ride, and that was it. They were
together forever.
Yeah. So anyway, Jodie is doing interviews because, you know, this Anne Boleyn is going to be coming out. And she was asked about Meghan, and she said she felt that the monarchy could have done more to protect Meghan.
To make her feel safer. I would agree.
Yeah. And what's weird is, you know, we always think of, you know, A-list Hollywood having... Never complain, never explain. Uh-huh. But we also think of the royals as very 100%. Much never complain, never explain.
Yes.
That's basically what Harry and Meghan, you know, said they were told by them. Just grin and bear it.
Sure.
You know, we all have to go through this when all these really terrible things were coming up about Meghan. They were like, can't you deny some of this? Can't we do anything? Well, The Guardian 2 days ago had a story about how Buckingham Palace had a policy of not hiring any quote unquote foreigners to work in Buckingham Palace. They didn't get rid of that until like the late 1960s. So this is a Guardian just reporting this, you know, mm-hmm. they're in the mm-hmm. normally, right? The never complain, never explain. Mm-hmm. My God, Buckingham Palace is not only complaining, but they're explaining that whole thing. Which so is they so didn't want, unusual.
But they didn't want to hire foreigners.
But I'm just saying, the people who never complain, never explain, would never do it for Meghan. Now they're doing it for something that ended in the late 1960s. It doesn't make any sense for the family who says never complain, never explain, to be complaining, explaining about that. That's what I'm saying.
I get it.
It felt like, okay, you do it for that, but you couldn't do it for Meghan?
Oh, Lord, will you ever stop?
But I mean,
I know.
It's, they're saying a lot by speaking out so vehemently about this thing. You're like, whoa, struck a nerve, did we, Guardian?
Oh, Lori.
You know, Julia, you just got to look at things sometimes in the context of how Buckingham Palace is handling their PR. I say who's ever been handling it has done a pretty bad, crappy job. She's got her platinum jubilee. These kinds of stories, it's a sport. It's just, you know, it just says a lot that they are complaining and explaining about that one.
All right.
Mm-hmm. They're feeling the heat, Jules.
All right. I'm sure.
The heat is on.
Okay. Look at the time.
Okay. We'll be right back.
So what are you trying to say?
Hollywood.
What is the meaning of this?
I don't know. You said you wanted to start with me. You said I got a Hollywood speak for you, Laurie.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay. Apollonia says that Prince stole the class. This is for both of you, Rocco.
Okay.
That Prince stole a classic move from David Lee Roth. And while she was dating David Lee Roth while they were filming Purple Rain,
Apollonia was.
And Prince stole David's mid-air split. You know, he'd jump up and do the splits move and started doing it at his own show. Apollonia said that Prince didn't want her to be seen with anybody else or to date anyone famous until the movie was released because he wanted to be the one to discover her. And at the time, they were at Prince's house and he jumped off his piano and touched his toes midair. And apparently he did it to bust in on Dave and maybe show that he could do whatever Dave could do.
Hmm. I never thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then they both were famous for those split kicks.
Yeah.
On stage.
Prince maybe did Dave them far did longer than David Lee Roth, I feel like.
Well, he probably kept his figure longer.
Yeah, he did.
He kept his figure a lot longer.
What is Apollonia promoting right now that we're getting this this little story?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I mean, I don't mind this kind of a story, uh-huh. but I mean, I feel like I don't think David Lee Roth was the first one to do this jump split that, you know, I feel like, you know, James Brown was doing that. And
right.
I mean, I don't know. I think she's giving a lot of credit to David Lee Roth.
Right. Yes, she is. Yeah. But I don't know what she's promoting either.
Right.
I don't know what. And Demi Lovato. All right, here's another one for you. Okay. Oh, Demi Lovato says being a.
Is this an interview she did with somebody?
Yeah, with Drew Barrymore. Demi Lovato says being the breadwinner as a child star impacted their family dynamic.
Well, no kidding.
I know. That's what I want to say. I mean,
yeah. I guess those two could bond over that.
They did, basically.
Because Drew Barrymore was the breadwinner by the age of six. And she supported, geez, not only her mom and dad, but I don't know, some other
loafers. Colleen McCulkin could talk about this. I mean, the child stars, and she just said she noticed that they would try to ground her when she was 17 years old, Demi Lovato's parents were, and she would just say, I pay the bills.
Yeah.
And she says she cringes now when she thinks about the attitude she had, but when the world is putting you, remember, she was a star since she was on Barney.
Yeah.
She was just a little kid. When the world is putting you on a pedestal, you kind of think that you can do no wrong. And as I got older, I saw my parents as just big kids themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
I have Demi Lovato fatigue.
So do I.
Yeah.
So do I. But I feel like that was a duh headline.
Yeah, well, but that's what they were bonding over,
yeah,
I
they
imagine.
Were talking
Although
about.
Drew Barrymore hasn't been taping this week, so this must be a headline that Demi's people released early to take away from the Dr. Pepper kerfuffle of the other day. Because Drew Barrymore is on the
hiatus
yeah, this week. So.
She is.
But yeah, okay, there we go. That explains it.
That explains it all.
Okay, Ben Affleck has basically the paparazzi are waiting outside of J-Lo's home in Beverly Hills. And he looks over, Julia, and he gives the
paparazzi just a smirk. Right. When he's leaving her house this morning and he just says, yep.
I got laid
and you caught me. Yeah. Big deal.
Big deal.
Flash it. I'm happy. I know. This is what I look like.
And notice how he had the top down.
Yeah. He doesn't care.
He doesn't mind at all.
Why not?
Even though his kids are going dead.
Yeah. Doesn't mind it at all.
You know.
Mm-mm.
She's back at work. She's gone back to Miami. I love this lover romance that they're having.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is lovers.
Okay, so that's what we learned yesterday. Yeah. What the definition of a lover, Lori gave us the definition, Rocco.
Bennifer 2.0, they are having a lover relationship mm-hmm. right now.
Lover.
Oh, listen to this. This isn't an interview with The Guardian.
Okay, tell me.
Christina Hendricks.
Joan from Mad Men, as it were.
Right.
And she's on that Mad Woman thing or whatever that show is.
Bad Girls.
On NBC.
Yeah. But anyway, The Guardian asked her about what kind of particular sexism did you get from reporters as far as playing Joan that was
in the period piece about the 60s.
Yeah. And she said, all anyone wanted to ask me about was my bra.
There are only two sentences to say about a bra. It fits.
Uh-huh.
It's uncomfortable.
I can't wait to take it off. Right. She said, yeah. She said, it was just so bizarre to me that, like, people didn't think anything of it.
To ask her how big of a breast size she had.
Yes, and what were the bras? Because in this, in that time period, they were, there was a...
A cone element to the bra.
Rocco, there were a lot of dark.
A Jane Russell element, as it were.
Yeah.
Anyway. Isn't that
pathetic.
That's so pathetic when you mm-hmm. think about it. Because did you watch Mad Men, Rocco?
I did.
Yeah. Okay. We loved Mad Men. Loved everything about it.
She said she was constantly asked sideways, point blank, around the thing. Everyone always, and it was just. And what, that's why she didn't. She kind of didn't do that many.
Do a lot of press. Well, you want to know the sweet justice out of all that yeah. is she's being asked every question about her breast size. The show ends up asking the male star everything about his penis.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sweet right. justice.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Is that where I play the hamaconda?
That's the hamaconda. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. That kind of is sweet poetic justice. Because then everyone asks, are you wearing underwear?
Right.
Are you, why, what is going on down right. there? Are right. you, you know, are you wearing boxers or briefs? I mean, everyone was all over him.
Yeah.
So he got the reverse. You know, he was treated yeah. like what yeah. a woman was treated like.
Yeah. Okay. Farrah Abraham calls.
She's the teen mom, right?
Yes.
That's teen mom. All I know about her.
Okay. But she said she called Chrissy Teigen an unfit person in society because.
Teen mom said this?
Yeah. Because apparently Chrissy Teigen called teen mom. She called her a whore.
Who is a whore?
A whore in a tweet.
You know, Chrissy Teigen probably wishes she wasn't as bold on social media.
Here's the tweet. Farrah Abraham now thinks she's pregnant from her sex tape. In other news, you're a whore and everybody hates you. Whoops, not other news story. Sorry.
Boy, she had a mean streak.
Didn't she?
Whoa.
But
this was.
And this was in 2013.
She really had a mean streak.
Yeah.
Well, social media backlash. It's what we tell our kids. Don't put anything out there. You don't want to come to bite you in the butt years later.
And, you know, she was 28 when she was old enough
to know better on all of these situations. I feel...
Farrah says, Chrissy should seek professional help. I've known for a long time that she's an unfit person.
Well, whatever. I don't put anything into what Farrah Abrams is saying, but what she is doing is she's pointing out she was another person that Chrissy Teigen kind of... tried to school on social media, which is not acceptable.
Yeah, well, I mean...
At her age versus these young women.
There was just a lot of acceptance for name-calling from a lot of different people that shouldn't have been name-calling. I hope that's our pandemic lesson. We've learned no more name-calling.
And if you do it... Do it to the person directly, to their face.
That's right.
You know, and don't film it, for crying out loud. Right. Say what you need to say. All right, we'll be right back. This is Lori and Julia on My Talk 107.1.